Well, how many of you were not expecting to see me up here tonight? It's supposed to be Shears. He was supposed to be, but he unfortunately is sick, and so is his family. So we are not going to be in Exodus tonight. We'll save that message that he's been working on for the last month for when we resume after our winter break. So please pray for Shears and Holly and their kids as they are pretty sick tonight. And I'm sure very disappointed not to be here tonight. You know, I've been sharing a lot on Sundays that if we are teaching God's word, we are going to face opposition, or we're going to face what we call spiritual warfare. And even just today, just in the last 12 hours, I have seen so many different instances of spiritual warfare. From Shears getting sick on the one Sunday in the 6 weeks or Wednesday that he's supposed to be teaching, to another family just broken, to another person just broken, to another person broken. This is all today. And, you know, we live in a fallen world that there is just so much warfare, and Satan, as we're out there teaching the word and sharing the word and following the calling that God has given each and every one of us, we are going to face Satan, and we're going to face lies and deceit and sickness. And sorry to be kind of the bearer of bad news, but this battle is going to continue until Christ comes to reign, right? We know that. That battle is going to continue. So because of that, we need to understand that we are, every one of us, in a battle. And if we're going to be in a battle every day, that means what? We need to prepare ourselves each and every day as we put that foot out of bed, as we step out that door, we are going to face some sort of battle in our lives, spiritually speaking. Now, that's one of the reasons I shared, too, even last week, that I really like a midweek service. It helps me out a lot. It helps me be what I call battle ready, as I coined that today as I wrote this at 1 o'clock today. Be battle ready. I'm from Nevada. I shared Sunday. I'm from Eureka, Nevada. You know, Nevada's slogan is battle ready. So what do you know? You're getting a history lesson on U.S. geography and me all in one. Battle ready. But what it does is coming to this midweek service, it helps me maintain that and be ready. Ephesians 6:17 says, "And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." So as we're going to close up this year, I know, right? I was writing this today and it was so surreal. You ready for this? As we close up this year, this last Wednesday of the year that we will meet for our midweek service, we should always, when we close up a new season, a new year, we should always look back, right? We should. We should reflect on last year, and also as we look at the year before and all that's taken place, we should also be looking to the next year, the next season, wondering what it holds. So I have a question. Looking at back on this year, how would you describe it? How would you describe it? Somebody give me a word. How would you describe last year? Anyone? I heard something. Happiness, joy. That's praise the Lord. The best thing about last year is when it ends. Okay, goes to, I got some words. I was busy. If you want to think of one word to describe last year, busy. Difficult, I would say for me, was one word I could use. It was difficult. In some ways, maybe you could, some of you are like, oh, it was relaxing. I don't know if any of you are going to use that word. Blessed, I hope we all can use that word looking back, because no matter what the season was, we're still blessed. Maybe you could say, unfortunately, it was full of trials for you. Maybe you could say it was a purposeful season. So as you think of these few words to describe this year so far, I think you got to be careful though. And I think that whatever words we choose we should also include the fruits that we've been blessed with this year. Because I think we've all been blessed. No matter what trials we've gone through or hardships or good or maybe we're just joy and having a wonderful year. Whatever there is, there's fruits of the year, right? We should all have fruits in our year. There should be something evident from our lives and our walks as Christians as we look back on that year. Some kind of fruit. Now looking ahead, looking into next year, in a few words, what would maybe your New Year's resolution be? Think about that. We're going to come back to that. And as you think about last year and you think about what's next, what would God's word say about our purpose as a Christian in this next year? Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, especially when I lift up Shears this evening and his family. Lord, I hope he's online watching. We miss him here. And Lord, we just pray he would heal quickly and be back up here to teach us about the Ten Commandments after we resume our break. And Lord, we just, again, Lord, I just ask, Lord, for your anointing of your Holy Spirit upon this message, Lord, and that, Lord, as we all walk in here, Lord, from who knows what, Lord, we just come right now, Lord, and we just lay all of that down. Whatever is on our mind, whatever stresses we may have, whatever garbage we may have just brought in, Lord, we just toss it out right now, Lord, and we say, here I am, Lord. I just want to sit at your feet. I just want to be washed by your word. And I am yours, and I surrender all this to you, Lord, and I'm here to hear from you. So, Lord, that's my prayer, that we would hear from you tonight. And all God's people said, well, you got any guesses where we're going to go? I wouldn't even try. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. On Wednesday night, I'm breaking all the rules. Ephesians chapter 1. Yes, we're going to do the whole chapter. No, we're not. We're going to do the first 14 verses. Ephesians chapter 1, we'll begin simply with verse 1. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to God's holy people in Ephesus who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. So as soon as we begin this book with the very first verse, we learn, right? We learn who wrote the letter and who the letter is to. And to be honest, I could probably expound on verse 1 for a whole message. But we'll save that for some other time. What I do want to notice is three things that we already pick up in the first verse. First, what I noticed is who chose Paul to be the apostle? Who chose Paul to be the apostle? It's interesting how this ties to everything we've been going through in Acts. It ties all, this whole thing ties right to it. And that's why I chose this today. Because we won't be in Ephesians for a long time on Sunday. But we'll be in Galatians 1 this Sunday. But first, who chose Paul? It was God who chose Paul. We know that. And we often, all of us, we often look to man. How often do we look to man or others for affirmation of who we are? God is the one that calls us and equips us. Now, we know that. It's true, though, what did we also learn as we studied through Acts? It may, and it is God who calls, but we also see confirmation of God's calling through the church. But it is God who calls that person. It isn't the church. It's the church who confirms and sees that anointing and then prays and lays hands on that person, confirming what God is doing in that person's life. I don't think you should have one without the other. But it is God who calls that person. It's God who equipped that person. Now, he may equip that person through the church and through one of you, but it will be God who will equip that person. Again, second point. I saw, you can write this, he called all of us something in this verse. He called you holy. You ever call each other holy? This letter we know is penned, it's authored to the, or given to the Ephesians, but it's written to God's holy people today. That's all of us here today. God's holy people. Do you see yourself as holy? Here you go. Look to your left. Look to your right. You see that person as holy? I see some grinning. I think, though, that this is an important point. Because we know through Jesus Christ we are holy. And I think if we as Christian, as believers, would see ourselves as God's holy people, many of our lives and actions would change. If we recognized our identity and who we are as God's holy people, I think many things in our life may change. The third point, this letter is written to the followers of Jesus Christ. Is that what your Bible said? Yeah, I said to the faithful followers. Following Jesus is not a one-time commitment. It's being faithful each and every day. To lay out our lives before God, to offer ourselves and present ourselves and our bodies as a living sacrifice daily. Paul says in Romans 12:1, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." So we found so much already in one verse. Let's continue. Let's look at verse 2. And let's learn about Paul's intention in writing the letter to God's holy people, which is everyone hopefully here today. Verse 2. "May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace." So we see Paul's intention, the intent of the letter, is that the church, the followers of Jesus, which again includes all of us here today, would have grace and peace. Now, I think we've heard these words often. I explained them just recently. Grace and peace. But I want to make sure that we all do have a clear understanding of exactly what Paul's intention is for you and for me. Grace, we know it means favor. Or I wrote it down here, a blessing or kindness. In this context, it's God choosing to bless each one of us rather to curse us as our sin deserved. It's us receiving something that we did not deserve. God's grace. And kids are back there doing the Iwana store, getting their Iwana bought. They earned all that bought by working hard, memorizing scripture, and showing up and bringing their books. They earned these little Iwana bots to go in there. They're going to take that little certificate, they're going to go buy all these prizes, right? They deserved a prize. Well, here we see that's not our case, is it, with sin? Also, peace. What is peace? I mean, that's a word that's thrown around everywhere, right? You see it on the shirts, right? The little peace symbol, pagan symbol it is, by the way. If you actually look at it, it's actually a pagan symbol. Peace, you could describe this, though. What does that mean as a Christian? What does it mean truly? It's not what the world would probably define it as. Peace, and especially in this context, is tranquility. That's a big word. Or harmony, you could say. I like this better. It's security. Bible dictionary said the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ Jesus. As so, fearing nothing from God. Not fear of God, fearing nothing of God, because you know you have been forgiven. That's peace. Now, I was reading on this, and Chuck Smith said this. I love this quote. I've read it before. "Have you noticed that grace and peace are always in this order? You cannot know the peace of God until you first experience the grace of God." Peace. It's amazing. So we learn from these two first verses who this letter is written to, who it's written from, We also now see the intention or the heart of the letter of Paul's writing, grace and peace to God's holy people for all of us. Pretty simple. Now some questions, right? Back to these questions, right? I was talking about the new year. I wonder, and I've asked these questions, that's why I wrote them. As I look at a new year, I've asked these questions. Maybe you'll ask them. Have you ever wondered why God has you here where you're at today? What your purpose is, what you're doing here? Maybe you've asked God, God, what is your will or your plan for my life? Or maybe you're walking in something and you're like, Lord, is this what I'm doing today? Is this according to your will? Is this your plan? I think we've all asked similar questions. Or maybe even asking God, I've asked this one, why don't I have a certain gifting or maybe even a blessing that I've seen in the Bible or maybe within the church? I don't think it's all bad. That's not a bad statement. I thought about these questions and how that I might answer them. And I think we can answer all these questions with a simple statement that I'm going to get to. But ask yourself these questions, because I'm going to get to that at the end of the message. But ask that question for yourself, all these questions. What's the answer to all these questions? There's one answer. Think about it as we dig into the rest of the text today. So we're going to see gifts next. We're going to look at verse 3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm, because we are united with Christ. So if we are going to give praise to God, we see this as this purpose for all of us, beginning in this letter, right? Our purpose is to give praise to God. And that's how he starts this. It says, all praise to God. It's the way this entire book of Ephesians kind of starts now as we get into the meat of the text. Everything else we're going to read, all praise to God. As we dig in, remember, he's written this letter for us. So this first thing we learn is all praise to God. But then Paul, as he begins, he's thanking God for all these spiritual blessings that we're going to get into. That's how he begins, thanking God for what he's going to explain. But I love how Paul does this, and we need to do this also at times. He makes sure that us, the reader, and everyone else knows who God is. Because right now, you can say you're a Christian. It doesn't mean much, does it? There's a lot of people that say they're Christians that are not Christians. In fact, they're part of a cult. So now he's going to define who the God is, the one true God. He says, he defines him as this, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a great way to just start describing the God that we serve. Paul then further clarifies what we're to receive as followers of Jesus. It says, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. I want to look at Ephesians 1:19. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures today. Let's turn right now to Ephesians 1:19-20. Just turn your page, probably most of us. I can go ahead this time and go right into it because I'm not teaching on it next week. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. So again, with this, we see a definition of this God that we are praising, the one who has raised Jesus Christ. So to make no mistake about who he is. Now, as we look at that verse, ready for this? I saw one verse, verse 3, ready? Get your highlighters out. I saw six different truths given to us in verse 3. Six truths. Take your highlighter out, and I give you a hint. Again, it's six different truths. Now, I'll give you the hints and see if you can find them. Okay, these are hints. First one, what is your purpose? Second one, who is God? Truth. Third one, what has God done? Fourth one, where do our blessings come from? Fifth one, how are we blessed? Last one, why are we blessed? Let's break all six of these points down in this one verse. Highlight them in your Bibles. It's an amazing truth. So point one, I asked, what is your purpose? What is our purpose? We simply stated, to glorify God. That's what you need to highlight, to glorify God. So how do we praise and glorify God? What does this look like in our walks as Christian? What should it look like? That's the question we should be asking. Are we glorifying God? Point two, which is really important that we need to know and everyone else needs to know, is who is God? We see it defined. Do we have a correct understanding of God? Paul makes it clear who God is. We see he is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the God we serve. The third point I mentioned is, what has God done? Here in the verse, what did he do? He blessed us. Have you received these spiritual blessings? Maybe many of you are asking, what are they? The fourth point, as we talk about these blessings, is where are these blessings from? And I noticed it says spiritual blessings, not physical blessings. That's an important note, isn't it? They're spiritual blessings. That's where they're from. The fifth point is how. How are we blessed? We are all blessed with all or every, depends on what translation you have, spiritual blessings. All of the spiritual blessings are available. Now the last one is why. Why are you blessed? I like this. All blessings are given because we are united with Christ Jesus, so God may be glorified. That's why. There's a lot in that verse. So we continue in this letter, and I believe the purpose of this letter is that the followers of Jesus, all of us, would remember or know our purpose in life is giving praise to God. And everything in the rest of Ephesians ties back to them first three, four words. All praise be to God. And it's going to show you instructions in life how to do that and how to live in a way that would be praise to God. Paul is going to now again continue to identify some of these gifts or blessings. Let's look at verse 4. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Believers, church, you realize what that says? We are chosen by God before you've done anything, and only by the love of God. 1 Peter 1:20 says, God chose him as your ransom long before the world began, but he has now revealed him to you in these last days. Now you think about Paul, who's writing this, right? In his darkest times, right? Remember what he was doing? In his darkest times, Jesus reached out to him in love and let him know he was chosen before the earth was formed. That's who Jesus is. Some may even ask, maybe even some that are sitting here, why would God choose me? Why would God choose me? I have the answer. If anyone's wondering that today, why would God choose you? God chose you because he loves you. Because reasons in his sovereign nature, not who we are, right? Not what maybe we have done or not what we should have done. He chose you because he loves you. The question isn't why, really. The real question, have you accepted that you've been chosen by God? If you're sitting here today, have you accepted being chosen by God? I believe everyone that's sitting here today, there's no doubt. If you're sitting here, you've been chosen to become one of God's children, to become holy and without fault in His eyes. So being chosen surely is a reason to praise God. We just went through the first one, right? You said, praise God, we just got the first one. First one is being chosen. We're all chosen here. Amen? Amen. So the blessings are going to continue. And we're going to see now another blessing, right? How we are adopted into God's family. Let's read about it in verse 5. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. So we learn the Father's will, God's will for each of us is to be adopted into His family as His children, becoming sons and daughters in His family. And we know that this actually takes place by a new birth, right? We're born again into the family of God. It's a beautiful picture. We just had a baptism. It's a beautiful picture. We are now part of God's family as His sons and daughters. Romans 8, 14 through 17 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So if you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves, instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father. For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are His children, we are His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share His glory, we must also share His suffering." I didn't leave verse 17 out. Everyone likes to leave verse 17 out. I had it in there. I don't want no misconceptions of what it is to be a follower of Christ. As we join in this family, there will be suffering. So this is the relationship that God seeks to have with each one of us, adopting us as His children. And then God has His purpose and plan for each and every one of us, each and every one of you. This is what God wishes for us, His desire for all of us. And it gives God, it says it gives God great pleasure to bring each of us into His family. You ever watched an adoption of a child? It's one of the most beautiful things you've ever seen if you witnessed it. When it's final, it's stamped, it's sealed, it's done. Right? This is what happens with us. When we're adopted into God's family, when we profess Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior and turn from our sins and turn to God, we are adopted into that family. We are sealed. We are His children. And God is going to take care of His children. And He loves His children. Sometimes children get disciplined. We know that too. But let's look at verse 6 and learn more about grace. "So we praise God for all the glorious grace He has poured out on us who belong to His dear Son." So we learn how this adoption works again, right in Scripture, right? He explains it. It works through Jesus and through what He did on the cross and His resurrection, His grace. I also noticed when I looked at this verse, I see a lot of descriptive words, I would say, in this verse. Do you see descriptive words in that verse? We're in Ephesians chapter 1. I see, mine says, glorious grace. Kind of interesting. Now, we just talked about it earlier. We know that grace means favor, blessing, or kindness. And in this context, we know that God is choosing to bless us rather than curse us as our sin deserved. But what we're receiving is something that we didn't deserve or earn or couldn't earn, just to be clear. But glorious. This is glorious grace. I looked, like, what's glorious? It means splendor, excellence, preeminence, dignity, grace, majesty of a thing that belongs to God. We believe grace, but we get a grace that's glorious, that's from God. There's nothing else like that. Nothing else like that. I saw another descriptive word. Did you see another descriptive word? Poured out. It's not a word we just use all the time, right? Poured out. we don't just receive this glorious grace, but it's poured out upon us. This is beautiful. Romans 3:23 through 24 says, "For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious, again, standard. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins." Amazing. Let's look back in Ephesians 1. Let's go ahead and go to verse 7 now. "He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins." This is what we call redemption. Forgiveness. And again, it goes back. All praise to God. We are to give glory to God that through Christ Jesus, our sins have been forgiven. This is how Paul is beginning. We were delivered from the penalty of our sins through Christ Jesus paying for the price of our sins on the cross. We see it in Colossians 1:16 through 20. It says, Colossians 1:16 says, "For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authority in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything, for God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made," here's the word again, "peace with everything in heaven and earth by the means of Christ's blood on the cross." Amazing picture. So again, there are reasons to praise God continue in Ephesians. And let's look again, even more reasons in 8 through 10. "He has showered his kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. Yes, as children of God, we have an inheritance." Amen? It's a beautiful. So what is this wisdom that's spoken of here, along with God's plan? That Christ is in you, each and every one of you. And that our hope of eternal life, is shown here through this plan of salvation that we have through Christ Jesus. So God now has revealed that to us. He's revealed it to the world, right? Before, they didn't know how that worked. We have it now. We have the new covenant. Jesus has been revealed to the world. We know. We know what's going to happen to us also, and we know what's going to happen to the world. So let's just continue. Let's look at 11 and 12, and let's learn a little bit more about being united with Christ. "Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, makes everything work out according to his plan." Verse 12. "God's purpose was the Jews who were first to trust in Christ and bring praise and glory to God." So again, we have this inheritance. I like that word. I hope I get a big inheritance one day. I'm probably not going to from, but I have a spiritual, I have a godly inheritance from my Father in heaven. Amen. 1 Peter says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance. An inheritance that's kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled. beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. We praise God for this inheritance that we have, this inheritance in heaven. And in Christ, we're given this, a priceless inheritance. Let's see now, verse 13, these gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit even it's going to talk about in verse 13. And now, you Gentiles have heard the truth, the good news, that God saves you, and when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he had promised long ago. So God has sealed us. When we come to faith, when we believe in Jesus Christ, we become again born again. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit, as in we belong to God. It's done. I don't believe you can lose your salvation. And I'll say that. Now, you have free will. You can do with that what you want. You still have free will. But I don't believe someone can just lose their salvation. You are sealed, you're bought, you're paid for, and he has your stamp, that wax seal. It's done. Nobody can break that. This is God's stamp that you belong to him, that you have an inheritance, that you have security, you have protection in that, and that you're safe in Christ Jesus as one of God's children. There's a lot to be said there. We have been purchased too. I think it's important to, as we talk about being his children and being bought and paid for, I think we understand what the cost was. For us, it was a gift freely given to us. But it cost Jesus his life. His blood was poured out. He gave his only son so that you could be saved. That's valuable. You know, I've thought about it and I've preached on it a lot. And I have a son, my eldest, my son. I was talking to him today. And it's interesting, you think of all the things in the world of value. I mean, all the money, or maybe it's gold or property, or you can name anything in the world. Your oldest child holds no value. There's nothing more valuable to a parent than that in the world, hopefully. And that's what God gave for each one of us to be sitting here today. We've been purchased by the blood of Jesus. So let's look at the last verse for today, verse 14. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us an inheritance he promised, and that he has purchased us to be his own people, and he did this so we would praise and glorify him. Wraps it all up right there in a nice bow for you. The purpose. It's written. It begins with it and it ends with it. We are redeemed. And as the Holy Spirit works in our lives, each day he sanctifies us. He makes us more like Christ. We've been given that. Romans 8:1, it says, so there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable, that's what we're going to talk about when he comes back, the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in body, like the bodies we sinners have, and in the body that God declared as an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us, which no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. That's how verse 14 talks about. We have the Holy Spirit. It could be said like this, I was reading a commentary. He said, the Holy Spirit is like an engagement ring between us and God. He said it this way. He said, Jesus is the bridegroom. We know this. And his church is the bride. We know this. We know that he will come and claim his bride because he's given us a promise. And his spirit, like the engagement ring, is the assurance that we have each and every day, knowing the truth that we are his children and we have an inheritance in heaven. And we have that promise, right? That's what that ring is. It's a promise, right? To be faithful. That the promise, that the covenant that I gave to my wife, I will remain true to. And it lets everyone else know I'm married. I belong to someone else. Remember that. Warren Wiersbe said that. Just said, that wasn't mine. So we're going to close up here. We're going to do a little bit of a prayer today. If anyone else has any prayers, I've seen a lot of spiritual warfare going on, especially today. We're going to have a time of prayer. We're going to pray over our brother. He's just walking through a lot right after we close. He can sit in the chair, and we're just going to get over and pray for him. He's going through a real stressful time. But as we close, I want to look at the closing of these 14 passages, that we should never forget the reason of these blessings or gifts, as we've seen. And, you know, I ask these questions: what do we give God glory for? What do you give God glory for? Maybe it's your health. Some people would say that. Maybe it's for your children. Maybe it's for a job or education, for your family, maybe even for this church. Maybe for some money. Maybe something else. I'm not saying all these things are good, right, to praise God for. But they're really insignificant to why and what we really should be praising God for. Do you remember the questions I begin with? Have you ever wondered why God put you here on this earth, or what you're doing here, I asked? And or what your purpose is? Maybe you've asked God, what is your will, your purpose for my life? Or maybe you've asked, in what I'm currently doing, is this according to your will or your plan? I also said, and I've asked this question, have you ever asked God why maybe you don't have a certain gifting or a blessing that you've seen in the scriptures or maybe within the church? I believe in asking all these questions that if each one of us will follow the model that we see here and give God glory each and every day for these things that he's shown us. The things that he's shown us. Here's the list that I see in Ephesians 1:1-14. The things that we need to be praising him for daily. That he loves each and every one of us. That he chose each and every one of us. That he makes each and every one of us holy. That he adopted each and every one of us into his family as his children. That he's continually, not just once, he's continually pouring his grace upon each one of us in our lives. That he's continually giving us wisdom and understanding. He's continually giving us purpose and revealing his plan for each and every one of us. He's uniting us. We are united in Christ. He's given us an inheritance. We need to remember that. And here, lastly, today, what else? What was the final thing he gave us? The Holy Spirit. The promise. The helper. The one to remind us. So every day, I think that what we need to do is we need to be giving God glory for all these spiritual blessings that I just went through, right? These were all spiritual blessings. And he's blessed each and every one of us. And I believe the answer to the questions that we gave are simple. We need to praise God. And if we will praise God and make him number one in our life and know what he's done for us daily and surrender before him daily and offer ourselves as a living sacrifice daily, everything else will fall into place. You may face hardships, but it will fall into place. Many people come to us all the time, you know, marriage, children, all these questions. Is God number one in your life? You may have to walk through some difficulties, but it will come together. It will work out. Remember, I know it's crazy. We're getting ready to end a year and start a new year. When you think about that, Thanksgiving's upon us tomorrow. And we need to use all these blessings that we've been given, all the things that we're thankful for, and whether it be spiritual or physical, that's okay too, right? I went through some physical blessings, but we need to use these things and we need to praise God with whatever we've been given. That God would be glorified in all of these blessings, whatever they would be. You know, one interesting thing I looked, and I found this out years ago when I studied these passages, if you look at some of the earlier transcripts, verse 1, look at verse 1. It's very interesting. Some of the earlier transcripts, I don't know if it was all this way or if the original was exactly this way, but it says in verse 1, it says, I'm writing to God's holy people in, there used to be a space there, they say in some of the early writings, the early manuscripts. As in, maybe Paul would pen this letter for others, right? He is addressing the Ephesians here, but it wouldn't be unlikely he could have addressed some others. And it makes you think, maybe we need to, I think we should just insert our city name there and reread the passage. I got NLT, I don't know what you guys got. Let's read this. You ready? This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to God's holy people in Chiang Mai, Thailand, who are faithful followers of Jesus Christ. May God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. I don't know if that was his intention, but there is early manuscripts. Literally, that letter was written, all of us. So for this next year, let's make sure and glorify God with our lives, every single aspect. And I want to close with Ephesians 4, 31 through 32, and then we're going to pray. And anyone else that needs prayer too, let's just have a short time of prayer, and then we'll get into some amazing food. Ephesians 4, 31 through 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word today, Lord, as we see Paul's writing to the Ephesians, Lord, but really, I believe to every single believer, Lord, telling us all praise to be God. Then you go through and Paul lists all these amazing spiritual blessings as you've adopted us into your family, Lord. And again, he ends this particular part, Lord, all praise to you, Lord. So, Lord, let our lives be praising to you, Lord. Everything that we would do, Lord, would just bring glory to you, Lord. And everything that when we walk out these rooms and go through our week, all praise would be to you. So, Lord, we thank you for all the things you've given us, Lord. Have you given us every spiritual blessing? We see this here, Lord. And we just praise you and thank you and want to remember each and every day as we get up how blessed we are to be your children. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.